welcome to Dogupied, a podcast about anime, manga, light novels, and industry news. I'm your host, Brandon, otherwise known as Doc Pay. And this episode, we will be, well, I say we, the Roe, I will be talking about another new light novel series that I started reading called The Eminence in Shadow, written by Daisuke Aizawa, published in English by Yen Press. There are currently two volumes out. The third is due to release in April. I think I mentioned it last time, but recently I started reading a whole bunch of new series, well, light novel series, we'll say. And by new, I do mean new to me, but also like newly released in English, so there were only, you know, one or two volumes out so far. So it was actually quite fast to get through. And I'll probably start talking about them, you know, in the coming weeks. But I might wait for some of these series to at least get a second or third volume before talking about them, so I kind of have a better picture of it. But The Eminence in Shadow, you know, it does have two volumes, and honestly, I think the gist is pretty evident from even the first volume alone. And I think of all of the like newer series that I recently started, this one's probably my favorite so far. It's very entertaining. Although I do think you have to kind of understand what this series is to enjoy it. And I'm not saying that's hard or anything at all, but if you go into it with kind of like misled expectations about what this kind of story is, then it could be a little confusing or maybe frustrating. That said, I went in with basically no preconceived notions about the series and ended up really enjoying it. So that's not to say you can't jump in blind and really like this. Because, I mean, that's exactly what I did, so clearly it's possible. But I'm here to give you kind of a rundown of what I think about the series. So if you're listening to this and you haven't read it, well, I guess you won't be going in blind. Or if you've already read it, obviously let me know what you think. Leave a comment on the website or send me a message on Twitter. This series got quite a bit of like laugh out loud moments from me in the first two volumes, and overall, I think I was pretty impressed with how much I ended up actually really liking it. I read both volumes in one day. I just kept reading, and then I hit the end of volume two and I was like, oh no, I have to wait till like April for the next one. Okay, so let's kind of jump in to the story. Here's the description for volume one from Yen Press. One big fat lie and a few twisted truths. Even in his past life, Cid's dream wasn't to become a protagonist or a final boss. He'd rather lie low as a minor character until it's prime time to reveal he's a mastermind, or at least do the next best thing, pretend to be one. And now that he's been reborn into another world, he's ready to set the perfect conditions to live out his dreams to the fullest. Armed with his overactive imagination, Cid jokingly recruits members to his organization and makes up a whole backstory about an evil cult that they need to take down. Well, as luck would have it, these imaginary adversaries turn out to be the real deal, and everyone knows the truth but him. So I guess right off the bat, this is another isekai, and it's another isekai that's set in kind of a medieval-esque, Europe-esque setting. So it's somewhat generic in that sense. It's very sword and board, there's magic. I think there are monsters. Are there monsters? But the kind of base setup isn't where this story really shines. This is, at its core, I'd say a comedy series. There's definitely plenty of action to go around. And while I wouldn't strictly say there's romance, I guess maybe kinda it's there, a little bit. So the main crux of the comedy is that it's kind of a comedy of misunderstanding, or even maybe like semi-parody. Our main character, Cid, is, well, he's Cid in the New World. He's reincarnated. Well, he kind of ends up being killed by Truck-kun, mainly because he was absolutely bonkers crazy in the context of our world, but it just so happens that it works out for him because he reincarnates in a world where all of his bonkers craziness works, which just kind of adds to the comedy. So kind of as the description says, the main crux of the story is that Cid is obsessed with what he calls shadow brokers, or like the hidden masterminds, you know, the eminence in shadow, like the title. And so even in our world, he was obsessed with becoming like that kind of person. Obviously, he couldn't do that in our world. And since he reincarnated into this one with magic and monsters and swords and powers and things like that, he's able to actually go through with it and kind of become this character that he wants. So he has two personas. He has Cid, who he purposely acts as kind of a mob character, as he calls him, or your generic side character. He tries to be as kind of middle of the pact as he can, does everything he can to not stand out, in turn doing a lot to kind of stand out for himself. But that's all part of the comedy of misunderstandings that the series goes for. And then he has his Eminence in Shadow persona, which he literally just calls himself Shadow, as he's kind of training himself up by defeating like bandits and other such things in the land surrounding his family's like domain, because I think they're like some degree of nobles. I kind of forgot, and like that stuff bounces off me. And in the process of doing that, he ends up finding this like lump of flesh. He then decides to randomly start pouring magic into it and kind of more or less experimenting on it with magic to like learn control of magic and stuff. And as it turns out, he ends up saving someone who was turned into that lump of flesh. He names her Alpha. She's kind of this like a beautiful young elf girl. And on the spot, he basically makes up this whole story about the cult of Diablos. Or, well, he knows that within this world, there is this kind of mythology of Diablos and the three heroes who defeated him and like all that. But then he makes up this whole thing about, you know, she was turned into a lump of flesh because she's known as the Possessed. But it turns out the Possessed are like descendants of the heroes that were cursed. And he creates this whole like elaborate backstory for the Possessed and the cult and the heroes and all that. And in his mind, at least, he's just like making shit up, having fun, deciding he's going to play pretend as, you know, a shadow broker. Unbeknownst to him, or rather because he's just so into playing the role that he doesn't realize that everyone else takes it seriously. And that not only do they take it seriously, but it is actually real. So he ends up starting an organization known as the Shadow Garden that ends up rescuing more and more people. Women specifically, because only women can be possessed or can become the Possessed, because all of the heroes were women. There's a whole like backstory to this, but suffice it to say, he builds himself like essentially a harem of beautiful badass women who will like be at his beck and call and do whatever he asks of them. But because he's so obsessed with playing, you know, Cid, the mob character, the side character, and then Shadow, he's just out there trying to have fun, in essence. He thinks all of it's, you know, just one big game of pretend that they're all playing and just like humoring him. Whereas all of them take it absolutely 100% serious because it is real. So, like I said, a comedy of misunderstandings. And it doesn't stop there. At every instance, like everything he does is interpreted to be like this almost messiah-like angle where, you know, they all view, or at least everyone who knows Shadow views him as this like absolutely insane figure of both strength, foresight, intelligence. He's basically the exact person he wants to be, but he's actually just pretending and completely lucks into like everything he does. However, there's also like more to it than that, because of his kind of like toony, obsessive personality, I guess. He is also insanely powerful, as in like probably the most powerful thing in the world, or at least so it seems up to this point in the novel. And the fact that he is like so OP is another facet of this kind of comedy of misunderstandings, because he's able to defeat anyone and do anything that he wants, really. So in a lot of respects, this series and the framework remind me quite a bit of something like Overlord or One Punch Man to a degree, where, at least in the case of Overlord, it's because Aynes, for example, is always having to like pretend he knows exactly what's going on and has some big grand plan that they all assume he has, and then it works out in his favor because they kind of interpret it in that way and act, and so it has that kind of misunderstandings there, and it's very similar here. Whereas in the case of Aynes knows he has no idea sometimes, and he's like, how do I fool them? In this case, Cid thinks it's all just a pretend, like, play, thinks it's a joke, thinks they're humoring him, or just putting on a show. So he doesn't actually try to ever, like, pretend or fool them. He's literally just having fun and, like, living out his Chunyi daydream. And then in the case of, like, One Punch Man, with, like, the parody where he's so strong he can defeat anyone in one punch, in this case, the people who, like, meet Shadow and know him have this, like, reverence or awe for him. And in reality, like, none of the villains are particularly able to, like, challenge him. But in kind of typical misunderstandings fashion, he loves to, I won't say mess with them, but, like, teach them how ignorant they are of things, I guess you could say. When the villains get all haughty and high and mighty and they're like, look at your plain swordsmanship, or, like, look, you're not even using magic, and he's just, like, owning them, or he's really not trying or doing very much and still owning them, and they start to, like, slowly dawn on them that, oh no, he's just playing with me. And so that's kind of, like, the character he goes for in terms of fights. And so he always gives the villains a chance to do, like, their final move and to power up and, you know, whatever else it is that they, like, do in the fight, because he doesn't really care, because he's in it to have fun, and it's all entertaining to him. So he's like, oh shit, they had a second form? Awesome. So as kind of a main character, Cid has somewhat familiar aspects to some other, like, light novel protagonists, but he's kind of, like, dialed up to 11 in ridiculousness. Things, like, literally will always go his way, kind of no matter what he does, because that's the story. Like, he'll just decide to do something on a whim, and it's, like, the exact perfect thing to resolve the situation, and then everyone else is like, oh my god, he's so brilliant, how did we not understand what it is he was trying to do? That, you know, he'll be like, hey, I'm gonna do this thing, and they're like, I mean, sure, master, we don't really get it, but, you know, we'll support you. And then by the end of it, they're like, holy shit, how did he read this far ahead? And he's just, like, flying by the seat of his pants, improvising, having fun. And then it turns out to be this, like, or, well, it seems like it's this big, masterful plan of his that he saw through, you know, 1,000 steps ahead. And they're all just, like, blown away by his foresight or whatever. When in reality, he was just like, oh, this seems fun and cool. Okay, so, I think I've covered kind of the basic premise pretty well. You have an idea of what it's like. So aside from Cid or Shadow, there are a number of other characters, and I guess we'll split them into, like, two camps. You have the Shadow camp, so the Shadow Garden camp, and then you have the Cid camp. So I guess let's just start with the Shadow half. So within Shadow Garden, there's a number of characters that he initially rescues. There's 7, and then it expands from there as Shadow Garden expands as an organization. I think as of Volume 2, I don't know that we strictly know the names of all the original 7, actually, yet. Or, like, I don't think we've met them all. But anyway, so you have, and because this is, you know, Cid or Shadow we're talking about here, he names them, you know, as so. The first person he saves and meets, he names Alpha. Then, you know, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon. In Volume 1 later on, we meet Nu, who is also 13. So like I said, I don't think we strictly know all the original 7 necessarily yet. I'm sure we'll meet them as time goes on. But Shadow Garden as an organization is also pretty massive. The initial 7 decided they were going to kind of split up and head out into the world and kind of tackle the Cult of Diablos from more angles, from more places, and they would, like, on rotation, keep one person with Sid the whole time. And so it's all kind of in the background a little bit, to be honest. A lot of what happens with Shadow Garden happens out of sight, at least because a lot of the perspective of like the actual chapters and narration come from Sid. Although that's not necessarily strictly true. Okay, I'll get into the writing a bit. Like, we'll do that after this. But yeah, like a lot happens within Shadow Garden outside of Sid's perspective, and that just leads to even better and more misunderstandings and comedy. You know, all of the other kind of upper members of Shadow Garden, because all of this is real to them, you know, go out and expand their base of power. They start businesses, they start, like, I won't call them branches of Shadow Garden, but they start to like save and recruit more people in a ton of different locations, different cities. You know, they start doing research on the cult of Diablos, opposing them in various places. And to all of them, all of this is absolutely 100% real. And so Shadow Garden is like a real power broker, you know, shadow organization. It's exactly what Sid wanted it to be, except for the fact that Sid thinks it's all make-believe, pretend, and they're just kind of humoring him for fun because, you know, he saved them. And in turn, not only is like Shadow probably the most powerful being in the world, all of Shadow Garden are like ridiculously powerful because they all followed Shadow's kind of teachings. Like, he taught the initial seven how to fight and use magic and all this stuff. And from there, they spread that. Then you have the Sid half where he, you know, pretends he's a side character. He makes friends with other side character-esque people, like two guys that are, you know, stupid side character characters. And so they kind of compliment him. You know, he likes to blend in. He has an older sister, Claire. In fact, early on in Volume 1, Claire gets kidnapped, and this was his, like, first real opportunity to play, like, Shadow, the proper, like, Shadow Broker. So there's, like I said, Claire's sister. He ends up then attending this academy in the capital, where he meets a number of other, you know, like, the two side character friends he meets. I wouldn't really say they're important. Honestly, they're side characters, which is what makes it kind of even more ironic. And then you've got Alexia, who is like the second princess of the kingdom they're in. There's a whole funny side plot with them. I guess it's not a side plot. It's like one of the main plots of Volume 1. There's Rose, who is the princess of another like art-focused kingdom, who is also attending the academy. And there's many others within the school itself that he ends up going to. And there's actually kind of a lot of characters, so it would honestly be a lot to go into detail about all of the side characters that aren't Sid and Shadow. So I'll just, if you're interested in the series and get to read it, you'll get to learn about all these side characters and how they fit into it. But just know that there's like the Sid half and the Shadow half, and occasionally they overlap, you know, obviously because Sid is Shadow. And so almost unintentionally, in certain cases, like in Volume 1 or 2, the Cult of Diablos ends up involving Sid, or rather, you know, like the Sid school. Not Sid specifically, he's a side character, no one gives a shit about him as Sid necessarily, although people are, you know, Alexia and Rose and others kind of do, but that's, they start to, and this is where I said there's like hints of romance, where they end up coming to like him as Sid, as like the side character, through lots of circumstances. But it's pretty spoilery if I explain how any of that goes down. Okay, so that's all the characters. Well, not all the characters, it's more than that. But anyway, let's talk about the writing. So, like I said, this is a comedy novel, and it's almost parody-esque of like other isekai stories and other kind of OP protagonist stories in a lot of ways. Sid as a character is like 110% Chunibyo. The dude just is all about his, you know, playing out his delusions of grandeur, where in this new world that he was reincarnated into, they're not delusions, it's all real. Except he doesn't realize it's real because he thinks it's all play pretend, and everyone else thinks he's for real. But he thinks they're all humor. Like, it's a whole big loop of misunderstandings and funny. And something like that could easily get overwhelming or overdone if not written well. Like, it could get pretty old fast, where the main character is always kind of oblivious to the reality around him and just kind of looks into the perfect situation, or like looks into solving it in like to create the perfect outcome. But the author so far hasn't let me down. It's been really well written. Like, Sid is an absolute idiot, but he's like really entertaining to follow, and everyone around him, you know, because they take everything seriously that he does, their reactions to him really make things interesting and keep things interesting. So, yes, Sid is an idiot. No, Sid will never realize that all of it's real, and I sincerely doubt that, like, anyone will come to realize that Sid thinks it's all a, like, play-pretend joke. So I don't think that, like, line is going to be crossed within this series, because it would, well, maybe it will at the end or something, I don't know, but like, maybe Sid one day will realize it, like, oh, wait, all of this was, like, for reals real? It's just that they all the other characters assume that because he started all this, that obviously it's, he knows it's real and he's taking it seriously, whereas he's just like, yo, this is fun. So I don't know that those wires can ever cross necessarily, but it doesn't matter. So, like, that might be frustrating to some people, in that, like, Sid will never take it seriously. Sid will never think it's more than a game, and that's just his character. So within the writing, the narration actually flip-flops perspective a lot, now that I think about it. Sid is kind of your primary, like, POV protagonist, and he does do a lot of the narration and is, like, the main POV, but it actually flip-flops a lot, because this story wouldn't work at all if it didn't also come from the perspective of all the other normal characters around Sid or Shadow reacting to him, creating all of these, like, mythos about him and what he's doing. Whereas we know that in his head, Sid's just like, cool, I'm a shadow broker now, this is fun. Or like, hey, this sounds interesting and looks cool, let's do that. Whereas everyone around him's like, what kind of, like, deep plan or what kind of immense foresight is he having about this situation? Like, it's just, that's where a lot of the misunderstandings in the comedy comes from, is having this flip-flopping perspective between Sid being an idiot and having fun and just, like, not taking things seriously, and all the other characters reacting to him as if all of it's completely serious and they take him 100% serious. And so that's kind of the main thrust of the writing, is that, like, alternating perspective. And it even pulls in, you know, the enemy characters from the cult of Diablos. So it flops perspectives between, you know, Sid, the members of the Shadow Garden, the people from the cult of Diablos, or the normal characters surrounding Sid himself. So all of the side characters get their own kind of perspective bits, in essence. Well, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them do get, like, sections or chunks of the story where they're the POV for the time. And it is pretty clear. And I think both the author and, in this case, the translator do a really good job of differentiating character voice. And it's pretty clear to me that this kind of story would never work, or couldn't work, at least not for very long, if the author didn't have kind of the eye for the comedy that he's writing. I think the author's been, at least in the first two volumes, very successful in this comedy of misunderstandings. It never gets old, or it never got old for me, and I'm still really looking forward to how many ridiculous ways this whole story can, like, twist and turn. The way Volume 2 ended creates so many interesting possibilities in terms of, like, where the story can go from here. Really, considering, at least for me, how successful I felt like the author was in the first two volumes, like, this is the author's game to lose. It's a really great series. I very much enjoy it. I think it's really well done. A premise like this could easily become, like, a one-trick pony and get tiresome really quickly, but at least to me it didn't. The humor's right up my alley. I it's just, it was a really good series. It caught me off guard how much I liked it. And then I ended up jumping in and reading both volumes in a single day because I liked it so much. I was just really enthralled. I was like, oh, this is really funny. There's a lot to like here about The Eminence in Shadow. So if you're interested, go check it out. This is The Eminence in Shadow by Daisuke Aizawa, published in English by Yen Press. There are two volumes currently released. The third volume is due out in April. And as a special note, so I bought this series digitally, but I do know that Yen Press released nice hardcover versions of it physically, which I am kind of interested in picking up now. I don't often double dip, but I do like hardcover releases, so maybe I'll check them out. Anyway, that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Follow my Twitter, I am DocPay, for updates. And please, if you like DocuPied, leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you can't leave a review there, then do it on Apple Podcasts. Everyone helps other people find the podcast. I'll catch you next time.